You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of James and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your wonderful presence as you seek to help us to enjoy the benefits of your person and of our Lord, your wonderful work on Calvary's cross. And our God, we thank you. So deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And just to remind us, keep in mind, if you would, the awesome simplicity of knowing the Lord as your Savior. And we use the illustration this morning of the AM, FM radio. And the AM, FM radio is there, and make believe you have one of them. And it is AM, and you can tune in AM. But if you never make the switch, you never hear FM. So you can play with it all day long, back and forth on the dial, through the frequencies. You can do all of that. But when you're all done, it's always AM. So until you turn the switch and tap on to the FM, which is a whole nother set of frequencies, then you don't have it. When you were born physically, God gave you, as it were, AM, earthly. In the same breath, in that same person that he put the earthly body, soul, and spirit, he gave them a spirit, he gave us a spirit, so that we could deal with God, who is spirit and truth. So, and we have the switch, we have the relationship possible. So, but we need to know God and honor God and receive him as our Savior, so that we now have AM and FM. We have earthly existence in our human body, and we understand we have a spiritual life that God gives us. The physical life that we have when you were born is expected to be lived. In other words, when you were a little baby, everyone anticipates and expects you to grow up like you have. And that's what you have done. And you have done that. You didn't fight it back then. You were willing to grow up. You didn't fight learning to walk. Once you saw that the possibility of walking, even though you fall down and break your neck and do all kinds of things, bloody nose, you do it. Because you want to walk. You understand your feet are meant to walk. So we grow up. Why do we want to grow up? So that we can relate to things. As an adult, that's what we want to do. That's physical. Spiritually, God wants us to grow up. We want the little child to grow up. God wants us humans to grow up, to grow and to develop. And to expand. So that's why we mentioned when you're 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you become a new creature, a brand new creation, old things have passed away, everything becomes new. And that happens the moment you believe. It isn't going to happen. It happened. The minute you believed, God made all that possible. Otherwise, that's why God forgives us. That's why we don't ask for forgiveness. No one asks for forgiveness. David didn't even ask for forgiveness. You don't ask God for forgiveness. He provides it in his Son. So here we are looking for God to deal with our hearts and our heads, and that God gives us a brand new relationship to Him, and that we get saved and we need to grow. Now, and we share together Wednesday, whatever it was, in the process that you, God gives you a wonderful relationship to His wonderful person. He is the victory. You don't say, where is my victory? He is the victory. He is the joy. He is the peace. God doesn't give you anything apart from Him. There is no way to have something of God apart from God. You just can't have it. It requires the person of God to provide everything that God's going to give you. Why? Because He's giving you of Himself by way of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's provided for us a relationship to have all of this, to exercise it. Now, in order to exercise it, to grow up, then what are the little child growing up, trying to develop, is encouraged. He breaks, falls down, gets up. We tell him to get up again. We tell him to do this. We tell him to eat his spinach and everything. And we just get them to grow up, to get him to grow up, keep nourishing him. And hopefully, you have some results that are acceptable. So in the process, God, you want us to grow up. Do we just grow up? No, we don't grow up. If you didn't get encouragement, you would have never grown up. Someone said, don't do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And you have to learn your mathematics and your everything. And you learn it to read and everything because you were told to and you had some incentive to pursue it. And you went through all the ups and downs of learning and stumbling and making mistakes, faults, and failures. Sure you do. Spiritually, you have to grow up. And you aren't going to grow up unless you're pushed. We don't grow up physically unless we're pushed. You won't grow up spiritually unless you're pushed. That's why God does what He does to help us to grow. And that's what we were sharing. And God gives His wonderful relationship, I started to say, so that we can handle every single day of your life in all of the conditions that exist locally, nationally, globally, no matter where you want to go. How do we handle the God gives us ability to be able to meet any condition. In our present world system, it requires a little more with it. If you're going to be conscious of anything and you realize what's happening, then you're going to have you need something to handle it. God is not disturbed by Russia and China and anybody, is He? Who disturbs God? Who causes God to feel that He has to find some answers? No one. God in you is perfect. And that's the life that you're to have so that you can cope with all the rest of the stuff out here. And that's what you have, that relationship, new creature, and it has to be tested so we learn to do it. We learn to physically and mentally, morally, we do that, and spiritually we're to do that. Now, so back over to James, and you'll recall where we were. In the process, God has us to be put to the proof. So when you come to James 1:2, we share together, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trial, test, trouble. You need to be into proving. You got to be proved to the trial, test you, the test, test you, to prove a person. The trying of your faith, and that's the faith, the body of truth that you're supposed to be believing. You believe you're a new creature in Christ? Believe it. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, verse 2, fall into diverse temptations. Sliding down to verse 3, I should say, I'm sorry. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's the word that we're looking at. The faith, the body, the truth that we're to be looking at. So God were to count it all joy, back to verse 2, and that's what God did. How did God do it? I mean, you have it without turning there in Hebrews 12 and that. What did it, well, you can turn there. You aren't far away, right next door. Hebrews in chapter 12. And you read and hear and get listen over and over again, and eventually the words will start sinking in and you'll start catching it. And then the words become alive. Alive. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also, our Lord, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that's our unbelief, etc. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load the race that is set before us. How are we going to do it? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one who's going to make it work out, the author, finisher of our faith. God, you want us to grow up? Absolutely. Do you have in mind what we should be? Absolutely. And verse 2. The finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did he do? Had the joy that was set before him. Back over, count it all joy when you fall into whatever. Why? My joy, John 15, my joy have I given unto you, so that your joy can be full. Now, God, where are we going to get? We aren't going to get it in the world. Where am I going to get this incentive? God's in us. He's the incentive. He's the incentive to roll up your sleeves and you get down. That's why. Because God's able to do it. So we're trusting him. That's what we're supposed to do. But I got to learn to do it. I got to learn to do it. Do you remember? You don't remember. But if you had to go to different training in the military, SEALs or something, and I've seen some of that, except so have you probably been in it even. And at the training's awesome. I mean it's crazy training, you know. You got 100-pound back and they drop you over the edge of the ocean out there, and now you got to make it. And everything, it's all kinds of stuff. Wow. Wow. Up and down, tie you all up your hands and feet and drop you down 10 feet into the water. Now you got to get loose. Got to get loose. There you are. Wow. Now all of that, why would you go through that? Do you think you're going to end up somewhere 10 feet in the water? No, but you could. What's the point? To discipline, isn't it? To get you to be disciplined, so that you can handle whatever comes. God, what are you doing? Disciplining you. Getting you to what? Understand the ups and downs. Are you going to get them all the time? No, but you have to go through them. That's how you learn to get to the next stage in life. When you were a little child, you went through certain things. When you're a teenager, you go through certain things. You get each stage. I don't have to go back to being 10 years old. 10 years old did its job on me and you, and we go to the next stage. And that's how we learn. Where did I learn? 10 years old, 20 years old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we learn. That's how we get there. And don't get there cheap. But it's because you want to grow. You can have your earthly existence, and that doesn't leave you with anything. But God has made it possible for you to have a unique, eternal relationship to God. So count it all joy. And the joy is God's. God's doing what he, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, went all the way to the cross. He saw, what did he see? He saw you and me, us being saved. He saw you sitting here as a saved person. That's what he saw. And was it worth it? You betcha. He rolled up his sleeves and said, I'm going. Is it worth it, God, what you're doing in our little life? It sure is, but you better understand, you need to see it. You need to see the benefits. Without it, you sign a little thing, I'm a churchgoer, Christian, whatever I am, and I do that, and I live my earthly life like it's happening all over. And we do that, and what do we know about God? Very little. What do we understand and enjoy about God? Very, very, very little. Very little. Well, we don't have anything. So we're struggling to get our life worked out in the light of the changing things that are going to keep changing, and they're rapidly changing, you know. Ever since this virus got loose, got sent out of the lab over there in China, the virus got sent out with the understanding, you can't have America prospering, making so great. We've got to stop that magnificent rise in power. You understand that, don't you? Our country, power, wealth, happy people in their jobs, in their taxes, in their everything. We got to destroy it. That's what China, what's what? And the one way to do it, and they did it. They did it. How are you going to shoot us down? You shoot the whole thing down. We lost thousands of lives. It wouldn't make any difference to the communists, does it? 100 million people die. Another 100 million people die. No problem. After all, there is no God, and you're an overgrown leaf from evolution. So what value is anybody? If you really want to sit down, you're nothing. And we do everything we can to be whatever and have whatever. So, having said that, verse 3, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, it's going to go and produce. The exercise is going to go and produce, accomplish, bring about, make happen our patience, bearing up under the load, carrying the load, and you keep carrying the load, and you don't try to get out of the load, you have to carry it, whether other people do or don't, whether they do or not, you do it. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, perfect, complete, full, finished. Let patience, bearing up under the load, endurance, if you would. Let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect, the same word, perfect, complete, full, lacking nothing. So that what? Verse 4, that you may be perfect and entire, the word entire means with everything full. Everything in your life is full. There's nothing that needs to be fixed, literally. You have everything. Everything. But you have everything for every moment that you're living on earth, in God, in Christ. Where am I going to learn that? Verse 4 again. The patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect. That you may be perfect and entire. And then you have the next two words, what? Wanting nothing. Lacking nothing. Content. How can that possibly be? Because God is content. And God has no problem with any of it. And neither do you if you're saved. Because God, that's the life you're living, isn't it? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I'm living that life. We're to be living that life. And that life is undisturbed by anything. It wouldn't make any difference. No difference at all. So God, we have to learn it. We have to go through the colleges of hard knocks, and you learn it. That's how you do it. And you have to, we learn it. We're learning it. Wow. So God, as we're seeking to learn, and it's going to, we want nothing. So God, we're looking. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, over to verse 12. And blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There's your same word, proving, put to the test, trial. That the man endureth temptation. For when he is tried, proven, different word, to try, to prove, to put metals in the hot fire, in the crucible, get them melted hot so you can get rid of the dross, find out the purity of the metal. Blessed is the man, verse 12, that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, put into the furnace. Remember we read it this morning in Peter, the fiery furnace, fiery trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown, the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So God, what are we looking at? The crown of life, the wonderful crown of life. Now God, now when you, John 5:24, you're not condemned. You go and you're passed, the end of the verse, you're passed from death unto what? Death unto life. When does that happen? When you received him, life. Now God, here we are plowing through time, and we need to be tested to show that we are having life. That's you. That's the whole point of this, is to grow up spiritually, not physically, spiritually, so that we're enjoying the being a new creature. Old things have passed away, everything become new. God, we're learning to enjoy that. So in exercising it, God, we have life. Now, God, what are you saying? I want you to go through. I have given you my life, and without taking time to do all that, I can do it a little, I guess, in the process, you're going to go, and I'm going to give you the crown of life, a wonderful life. What do I mean? I'm going to tag you. What's a crown for? Now, did any of you ever win a gold medal apart from your kitchen somewhere? Win a gold medal. Well, what's a gold medal? Well, a gold medal, I can say, listen, I was in the race and did all these things. And you say, yeah. But you know what? I have one too. Someone gave it to me, actually. I should have brought it out. A gold medal. And you know what? When I put the gold medal on, you know I must have run the race, right? What's the proof? I got the medal. What's the proof that you're saved? The crown on your head is the proof that you're saved in eternity. You finished the course. The crown of life on top of your head, as it were. And what are we going to do? We're going to cast all those crowns before him. Wow. Now, hang on. So in the light of that, God, you're going to go, and we're going to be put to the test in a most wonderful way, tried and put all things. So the crown of life is going to be there. Over, if I can, to John, Revelation, and chapter 2. Right next door. Revelation in chapter 2, picking up. May I go directly, if I can, to chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, put to the test. And you shall have tribulation, pressure squeezing, no question. No question. 10 days, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That's what I'm going to do. Chapter 3 and in verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Church in Philadelphia. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hang on. You got FM? Use it. You know the Lord is your Savior? Enjoy it. Well, no, then roll up your sleeves and give it a shot. And stop. You certainly have. I don't know each of your lives. They're all different, and for many reasons. And remember that in Psalm 25, God, in his wonderful, wonderful working, deals with every one of you according to your need to learn something. And what this fellow may need, that fellow doesn't. But that fellow needs something else. And God puts each of us through and allows us to go through the journey based on where we are from and who we are. Do you understand that? It's very personal. All for one objective, to be like him, to enjoy him, to be conformed to his image. But it's all personal. Psalm 20, wonderful, wonderful. That's what God does. So you can't ever say covetousness, jealousy, envy, all these things. The grass is greener over here. This person has this. You can't do that. What you have to do is draw a little circle and stand in it. And God has to do a wonderful thing in your heart. And it will be special indeed to make you all that God. And what makes me something, you see, giving me things in my life, my little life for half a cent's worth, giving me things, I had everything, really. Growing up, I had sports, I didn't have a lot of money at all, and my 36 Chevrolet was my best thing that I had, 36, and we did all of that, whatever, and I used to go out with the men, you know, with the guys, after things. And they'd all want to stop at Howard Johnson's. Do you remember Howard Johnson's? Ice cream, we scream, we all scream for ice cream. Remember that? No, Howard Johnson, you don't know that. Oh, okay. And they'd stop at Howard Johnson's after some event or something. And they'd all go in and have a hamburger and stuff. And I never had the money. I drove the car and paid for the gas. And they went in and ate. That's what they did. And I sat there, and that's how I grew up. I just sat there. I never had what they had. I didn't have any money. So I did. That's what we did. So I didn't have. But God gave me everything. Work, home, job, everything. Engineering, all of that. All kinds of things. But you know what? I never wanted any of it. You could never hold me. This is what I want. I never would happy was anything he did. I always wanted him more. No matter what he did, I always wanted more. I wanted him. Everyone's different. You were all different. Some people, you give me everything, you can give me everything, and all it does is make me want him. Give somebody else something and they want more. Everyone's different. Everyone has to be handled differently. Do you understand? That's how we grow up. That's how we get there. Wow. God does that. So you need to understand that. But you got a bit proven. Revelation 3:11, behold, no one take thy crown. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, I'll go over if I can to, without doing that. 1 John. And in 1 John, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to understand that God, in the process of going forward, we're going to understand we make a lot of mistakes. and we fall down. And what you want to do is, you don't want to kick yourself, and you don't want to get bad where you get discouraged. And the world is going to say what to you? The world is going to say it. Your old nature is going to say what? What's the use? It isn't for me anyway. All that stuff we're looking at and talking about, that's not for me. No, I don't know anybody that does that. And all the people I know that I look at, they don't do that. So what's the use? So we got that kind of thinking. That's right. Now, what about that kind of thinking? First John chapter 1, if I can, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What is sin? It's the exercise of your heart minus God. You aren't enjoying being saved. You're enjoying being a sinner. That's what you're doing. You aren't enjoying being saved. So you want to, so God, well, do I know, if you know this, Romans 7:18, that in me dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's an education. That's an experience to get educated. I want to understand about myself so that I don't keep switching off FM when I'm in AM. I'm in AM 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want to make sure I have tapped onto FM so that I can handle AM. Does that come out all right? So I can handle AM that I live in. So God, so if I say I have no sin, I do have sin. A lousy, old, rotten nature. Do you understand that? I know none of you do, but if you did. I have no problem with that from start to finish. So I'm going to tell you all the things wrong with you. You couldn't even know them. God knows them from day one to the end. And that's why Christ died, to take care of all that mess, so that I don't have to sit there and fool with it and play with it as I go through. What am I learning? What you told me. In me dwelleth no good thing. John 15, 4, 5. Abide in me, and as you abide in me, the branch to the vine. For without the abiding branch to the tree, without me you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. So I'm getting it. So any time I don't abide, I don't enjoy the moment. Now, I don't have to kick myself. I can either keep living like that for a whole week. I could do it for a whole month. And then somehow I wake up a little bit. I don't have to do that. God, I am to have an instant rescue. I'll read verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. The word is not in us. So if I'm going to call God, what I'm telling you, that isn't true. Then you're calling God a liar, because God said you are just like that. Well, no, I'm not. God said you're going to call me a liar? I'm telling you what you're like. I'm telling you. So don't tell me I'm a liar, said God. You aren't going to get along good when you call God a liar. So therefore, what are we going to do? Verse 9, we're going to confess our sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God's going to do. And that's God. God, it's wrong. That's all. That's not right. Whoops. Get up. You fall down. Get up. Run. That's what you do. Don't stay down. That's depression, discouragement, every other words, all the words that go with it. And we like them because it's about us. It's about us feeling things. That's one of the things about guilt in all of this. Why do we do what we do? In order to what? Well, if God, you don't judge me for this. You felt you did something terribly bad. And God, I need. And God doesn't seem to do anything. And guilt is there. And then it works on you. And if God, you won't do it, I'm going to do it. And that's why you remember all those back a while years ago when it was pretty public with the priest and that, you know, the Buddhist priest and all those priests, and they go on to get whipped. What are they doing? They're penance. Someone not beat me. I'm guilty. I need to get the sin knocked out of me. I need to get punished. People like that. They punish themselves. That's believers even. They go and punish themselves. God doesn't do that. We do it. We like it because we're in control. We're in control. I made a mistake. I did this. I did that. And we're in control. That's what we want. Control. That's what the government wants. Control. So that we don't enjoy. God said, listen, don't you understand? Old things have passed away. All things become new. Boom. You're forgiven. What do? Confess? God, I agree. That dumb thing was on the cross. So I don't need to play with it. All the stupid stuff I'll do this week, I'm sure. All the stupid stuff I'll do this week, God already has forgiven it. And I'm not going to hit myself over anything, and neither are you. Well, I did something bad. I should have done that. Sure you should have. And that's how you learn. How are you learning? Going through the testing. How do you learn to shut up? By talking too much. Is that all right? How do you learn anything? You go through it. I have a silly illustration. I have a coffee cup that I have next to the thing. Jeanette has a coffee pot of her special something. And I use her special stuff. And after she uses it, I dump a whole bunch of water in because I hate wasting all that. And it comes out the same color. It's basically the same color as hers was. And I do that three times if I have time. I get three pots out of her one pot for me. I'm a great coffee drinker. Now, in the process, I do all of that. Now, so I have a cup. Here's the cup. And I've knocked that cup over two or three times. And do you know, when it spills all over, it's hard. Stuff's up there, everything. So do you know what? That took three, this is just recently, not too far back. So God, if you think I'm going to put my cup there again, no, sir. I put my cup, I fill it, and I walk right over and put it on this counter. I said, if it's going to spill, it's not going to spill there anymore. Now, how did I learn that? By three spills. Do you understand? How do you learn? Just like that. You do stuff, and pretty soon it sinks into your head. Don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. And God bears us as we learn and are educated and grow. So if we confess our sin quickly, we're done. We get up and we're on our way. And God forgives us. So because and cleanses us from all sin in verse unrighteousness, verse 9. And you know then the result, verse 7. Walk in faith. If we walk in faith, what are we doing? We're walking in the light. We're walking as human beings. We need to walk as new creatures in Christ. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, home, school, work, whatever it is. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, so we can see. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So do we have to ask for the cleansing? Are we sitting there waiting to hold our hand out to get cleansed? To hold my mind out to get cleansed? No. I'm walking in the light, thanking God that he died on the cross and forgave what? All of your what? All of your sins. If he didn't, you weren't saved. If he didn't die for all, you weren't saved. And so we're going to practice it. That's what we're doing. And we practice that, and we learn it, and we walk in the light. It's a wonderful life. It's a simple life. Otherwise, we couldn't do any of this. It's impossible, except God in Christ in the heart makes it possible. He makes possible the impossible in a most wonderful way. Over to Deuteronomy. I'm way off here, so I hope you got a little bit. Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Israel, remember, Israel has been 38 years, 40 years in the wilderness, so that's what we're looking at. And after 40 years in the wilderness, what are we going to read? Moses is writing before he dies, and they cross the Jordan. Deuteronomy in chapter 8, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 2. I'll read verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Why? That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. You can have a wonderful life, a wonderful plan God has. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way, 38, 40 years now, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What was the purpose? Because they didn't believe. Remember in verse, Numbers 13. Can we take the giants in the second year? Absolutely. Caleb and Joshua said, we are able. The 10, and convinced the crowd, the rest of them, we're not able. We're not able. We are able. We're not able. God, what you're saying, a new creature and an awesome relationship to you, that we are to be exercised and to prove, be tested, to learn the relationship. Exercise it. And they Israel didn't. So therefore, he did that all those years to humble them, verse 2, to prove that, put to the test, and to know what was in thine heart. We just said that to somebody. You can do all kinds of things. I can do this, and I can read this, and preach this, and do all kinds of things. People can, in work, in homes, play, whatever you do. But out of the heart, God's going to see the heart. The heart is what calls the shots. You can do all kinds of things in your own energy and strength. God wants to know, what are you doing in your heart? Are you, say it, God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, forever. That's what I told you to do. And I'm looking at your heart. Are you loving me? That's what I want to know. When you, loving me, the word sincerity, to have an undying, unalterable, uncorruptible love. That's how the epistle ends, in sincerity. Loving God without corruption, with your whole heart. That's what God wants. You can do all the rest of it without any heart. And in the millennium, they're all going to bow down and have 100 years. They'll live 1,000 years without dying. Because they in their heart, it isn't true. God says it isn't. They're hypocrites in their heart. But they obey all the rules, and that's what they do. So God, what are we looking at? Well, you're going to go and put them to the test. Verse 3. 8:3, Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know. What are we supposed to be knowing? What were they supposed to be knowing? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's how they live. You think it's just bread? No. God said, I'm the one that makes it live. So God, that's what they were to learn. Did they learn it? Not very well. Because after a very few years, judges, and everyone does that which is what? What? Right in their own eyes. And here we are at the end of the age. Wow. Conditioned. Everything's going on. Now, God, we want to be able to get through this and in this, even so come, and he's going to come. A lot of things can happen. The whole world has changed, actually. Everything has changed. The dynamic dramatically has changed. Wow. Now, things could go for a while. There's no question. Israel could be there, whatever. All of these things happen. Now, wars could be there. Now, all of that, God, are we closer? Absolutely. Without getting into all that. Wow. Yes, we're closer. So God, what are we doing? I want to be able to be in this without getting conditioned, as we shared the other day. I want to adjust without being conditioned in my heart. My heart, our heart, straight on. So all the dumb rules and everything that rise and fall and all the changes that are being made all over the place, we're going to have to live in them in spite of them anyway. That's what we're going to have to do. Same as if you lived in a straight communist country. That's what they do. They do what they do the best they can in the light of everything. They aren't all pure communists at all, but they have to live in the country as it is. And so, God, here we are looking to your soon return. Oh, God, to say it a different way, picking up, please, back to James chapter 1. And I want you to note now, in the light of what we just said, to fit that in the light of what we just did, James chapter 1, verse 2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, all kinds of different testings, trials, to be proven, tested, everyone, in a special way, with God's wonderful grace, sometime for all of us. And therefore, we're going to be temptation to be proven, tested. Wow. Over to 1 Timothy, having God counted all joy when you fall into them. Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, again, chapter 4. And if I can. And verse 12, remember, we did it this morning. Beloved, think it not strange, don't think it's a weird thing, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try to put you to the test to prove you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be discouraged, put to trial, the word trial, try, to be proven, tested, okay. Now, having said that, it's count it all joy, fiery trial. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, again, in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold, many kinds of temptations. There's your same word, James 1, 2. Same word. Count it all joy, fiery trial. Okay. And verse 6, if need be, you're in them. Verse 7, that the trial, the putting to the proof of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus. So God, we're going to have to go through. That's what you want. So hang on. God, you're trying to help us understand this testing business, this proving, this going through daily struggles, ups and downs, to learn to trust you. Okay, so over, if I can, to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, in chapter 3. And in 2 Peter, I'm looking at 1 Peter, you don't want to do that. 2 Peter, and chapter 3. I'm picking up, please, in chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord, here's our same word again, I want to tie it together. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver, rescue, the godly out of temptation. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and the fiery trial, and heaviness of trial, that's right. Now, and therefore, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver them out of temptation. So all of these things were in them. We face them. They're there. We count it joy, fiery trial, everything's there. That's right. That's right. God, are they going to, when you're going to quit? No, as long as you're in this body, you've got the problem. So therefore, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, proving, testing, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, having said that, over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation and chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, picking up, please, if I may. May I go directly, church in Philadelphia, and one of the wonderful things that God has said for us. Verse 10, 3:10, Ephesians, Revelation. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, bearing up under the load, hanging in there, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. There we are, proving the hour. There's a great test coming, tribulation, an awesome test. For the world, the whole world is going to get tested. What about it? Verse 10, I will keep thee from that hour, the hour of testing, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God said, listen, you're tested. Count it all joy, fiery trials, heaviness. The trying of your faith worketh patience in your growing. But you're never going to go through what's up ahead. I'm going to test the world and prove where they stand for 7 years. And you're never going to know it. Wow. That temptation you won't have. But all the rest of it you do. All the rest of it you do. And God, even so come. That's why I said you're waiting. I told you I'm coming. Before that happens, you're going. That's what I told you. All people don't believe. It doesn't matter what they believe. Believing doesn't make anything true, does it? Believing doesn't make anything true. It either is true or it isn't. Believing doesn't make it work. Believing is something we do, make believe in all kinds of things. So God, thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, as we seek to do a little bit, to try to understand, to try to grow and know. And God, we thank you. So we're looking to you, God. We want to be able to go through Monday and Tuesday and the things that are easy and hard and much and harmful and difficult and pleasant and whatever. It doesn't make any difference, God. We want to learn from it all. That's what we want to do. We want to just learn. So deal with us. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you that love, Spirit of God, you bring to our head and heart. so that we desire to look to you, to know you, to honor you, to enjoy your wonderful person, your awesome presence. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.